And as promised, our guest co-host today, Lena Trudeau, Vice President at the National Academy of Public Administration. Lena, it's great to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I'm happy to do it. I had a chance to chat a little bit last week about what you're doing at NAPA, but talk about what's the whole point? What do you do? And I don't mean that to sound like justify your existence, but talk about what the organization does, because I don't think you get as much ink as you should.
Oh, thanks for saying that. And I'd love to tell people what the organization does, because the National Academy of Public Administration is not as well known as you might think for the impact that their work has and for the great work that they do. It's an organization that's a little over 40 years old, and it is a congressionally chartered nonprofit whose mission is to focus on improving the management of government. And I think we all understand, all of us who work in and around this sector, that management in government is a challenge, and working through towards outcomes and performance goals and measuring those results and being able to communicate them effectively is critical to our success, not just in the public sector, but as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Academy is focused on. Its defining feature is really its nearly 700 fellows who are all nominated and elected into fellowship based on the impact of the work they've done in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And the skill set, the just national treasure that is the fellowship of the Academy is really quite impressive and something I love to talk about. But the capabilities of those fellows span every level of government, including international, so federal, state, local, and international, and just about every function or program area you might be able to think of.
It's a list of superstars.
I mean, you
look over the list, and it's posted on your website, napawash.org. The list of fellows, and it's really incredible the diversity of backgrounds. As you said, all levels of government. There are financial people, there are acquisition people, there are HR. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
You want an expert in a particular field, they're associated with NAPA on one level or another.
Absolutely, and increasingly a number of people that you could really call change agents, people who are experienced in working across the silos of government to focus on solving problems.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot more emphasis on that, and lately, which I think is good. And there's also been a lot of emphasis on collaboration, and that's something that I know you're very passionate about. Why is that? Why do you think that's so important?
Well, collaboration to me is really about people working together, focused on solving problems, not focused on what authorities they have or where they sit or how they've typically operated. Although all of that context is obviously very important, but it really is that ability to come together and work together to find solutions that that sort of increase the pie. You know, sometimes we look at some of these problems we're trying to solve as zero-sum games.
Mm-hmm.
And if you win, I lose. And you see that a lot in the way some of the budget debates are playing out right now. And I'm sure we'll talk about the threat of a government shutdown at some point during
the
show.
Oh, it might come up every once in a while.
But the reality is that we all, as public servants, have a responsibility to work together in the best interest of the citizens of this nation. And when we do that, the importance of silos or programmatic barriers fall away a little bit if we can take off that little hat of where we sit and what our own little world looks like and put on the larger hat of what's in the best interest, across government of what we're working towards in the best interests of the taxpayer.
But that's obviously not easy, or we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in fighting some of the battles that we're fighting.
Oh, sure. I mean, if it was easy, it would have been done a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have hit the easy button and solved all of those problems. What we're faced with right now are the intractable challenges that we've been trying to solve for years. And in many ways, those problems haven't changed very much. They've probably gotten a bit more urgent. They've worsened over time.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was easy, you're right. We would have found those solutions to them. And so what we need now are really sort of committed and willing and creative and innovative and engaged people who are willing to try new things, because the same old things we've been doing just aren't cutting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the reason that we really started focusing on collaboration, not just collaboration as a concept, but really a whole new set of tools that are available to us as public administrators today to be able to reach out to people we haven't necessarily engaged before, to experts that we might not otherwise have access to, or at least not have very economical access to, and get the best ideas coming forward to be able to address some of these longstanding challenges with fresh thinking.
Mm-hmm. The notes that I have here say that you got your bachelor's from the University of Ottawa.
Yeah.
And your master, an MBA from the University of Western Ontario. You're a native Canadian. I know that without looking at the notes.
I am, eh?
Yeah, that's a beauty. So provide us with some context, if you can. I imagine you still follow politics in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have some of the same challenges? I know the structure is different, the political structure and the agency structure is different, but are they having some of the same challenges and facing some of the same problems that this government's facing here?
It's interesting. You know, I think that they reached a, if you want to call it a crisis point, probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of talk of cutbacks at the time, but you know, you're right in pointing out that it's a very different system, and it also comes from a very different tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So the tradition in Canada is not the same as the tradition that's built up here in the U.S., where there's more willingness to look to tax increases and fees as a means by which to maintain what people believe to be essential services. And there is a history of people coming together and a majority of people in the nation supporting services for those who are less fortunate than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at Canada sort of across the board, you'll see that it does not have the same stratification of wealth, many fewer, and not just fewer because of the sheer numbers of people, sort of 33, 34 million in Canada and 10 times that here in the U.S. Not just in pure numbers, but in percentage terms, many fewer very wealthy people. The median income is lower.
Mm-hmm.
That some people would say the standard of living or disposable income is lower up there as well. I think the numbers probably bear that out. But people really do put their money where their mouth is in terms of allocating funds towards people that they believe are less fortunate than themselves. And they pay a very high level of taxes towards, Medicare, but, well, the whole socialized healthcare system. So, there are challenges with that too. I am a firm believer that the government shouldn't be doing things that the private sector can do
mm-hmm.
themselves. You end up getting greater competition and, I think, more innovative solutions if you leave it to private industry. I'm a firm believer in that. But at the same time, it's difficult to compare the two systems because Canadians, I think, have historically been much more willing to give up a portion of their income for social services that they believe they don't want to do without.
Yeah.
And so a few years ago, they did have a bit of a crisis. They raised taxes, though. They did raise taxes, and now they're coming down a little bit again, but that's mm-hmm. how they dealt with their problem.
It's always interesting to me to look at other models, not necessarily to say we should do it that way, but just to gain information about how other people from different traditions, from different structures, approach kind of the same ideas in the same situations. Lena Trudeau's my guest from the National Academy of Public Administration.